the name of our God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Amen. Welcome to our Golden Hour live stream broadcast this morning on the third Sunday after Epiphany, January 23, 2022. Welcome also to our choral scholar and guitarist, Jacob, and our newly minted radio operator, Jason. In today's service, we will celebrate Holy Communion. If you haven't already prepared bread and wine for the occasion, you can do so now. In our reading from 1 Corinthians today, we are reminded that as the body of Christ, we have many different members with many different gifts. We all need each other and the various talents we can provide for the betterment of our Christian community. No one gift is more important than another. Our service begins with our gathering hymn number 310, Songs of Thankfulness and Praise.
Song of thankfulness and praise, Jesus, Lord, to thee we raise. Manifested by the star to the sages from afar, branch of royal David's stem, in thy birth at Bethlehem, anthems be to thee addressed, God in flesh made manifest. Manifest at Jordan stream, prophets, priests, and kings supreme, and at Cana wedding guests, in thy God's head manifest. Manifest in power divine, changing water into wine, anthems be to thee addressed, God in flesh made manifest. Manifest in making whole, weakened body, fainting soul. Manifest in valiant flight, quelling all the devil's might. Manifest in gracious will, ever bringing in good will. Anthems be to thee addressed, God in flesh made manifest. Grant us to see thee, the Christ, present in thy holy word. Grace to imitate thee now, and be pure as pure art thou, that we might become like thee at thy great epiphany, and may praise thee ever blessed, God in flesh made manifest.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Blessed Lord God, you have caused the Holy Scriptures to be written for the nourishment of your people. Grant that we may hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that comforted by your promises, we may embrace and forever hold fast to the hope of eternal life. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Lamb of God, what wondrous love, what wondrous love, O my soul. Love such love that thou shouldest die, that thou for me shouldest die. What matchless love, what matchless love, O my soul. Son of God, thou loving sacrifice, thou loving sacrifice for me. Cross of God, I would to turn away, yet love it bids me stay, O my soul. Can it be the very death I fear is that which draws me near, Lord, to Lamb of God, thou died for me. Lamb of God, thou died for me. Lamb of God, thou wondrous
Our first reading is from 1 Corinthians. The Apostle and Pastor Paul uses the metaphor of the human body to describe how intimately connected we are in the church. For this struggling congregation in Corinth, Paul delivers a vital message of unity that is a mark of the church today. And now the reading. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Last week I watched with my kids the new Disney animated movie, Encanto. It deals with a family in a remote village in Colombia, South America, who each have different magical gifts. One of the daughters has superhuman strength. The other daughter can make flowers bloom out of thin air. The other daughter can hear conversations from a mile away. Without hopefully giving away too many spoilers, the grandmother exerts too much control. She's scared that they will lose their magical gifts. And so she puts the gifts on a pedestal, almost like the gifts are more valuable than the family members themselves. The members are valued only for their specific ability. They have to be perfect at it, and they can't branch out and do other tasks, like Isabel, who can only look and be perfect and only make pretty flowers, but she can't do other things that she might want to do. At the end, the emphasis on only the abilities and everyone having to live up to unrealistically high expectations destroys their house. Finally, the grandmother realizes that the true gifts are actually the individual members of the family themselves, and the magical abilities are there to help, but they shouldn't be idolized. Each of the members of the family with their respective gifts are important, and the gifts are there for the benefit and sharing with others. Today's letter to the Corinthians has the Apostle Paul talking to a large family, the Corinthian church, and reminding them of some lessons that could be found in the Encanto movie. What does it mean to have many different members with different gifts in the family? Who is most important? How do we build each other up and live together in community with much diversity? Paul reminds us that just as a human body has many body parts that are all essential for its functioning, like ears, feet, and hands, so the body of Christ, the Christian family, or specifically the local congregation, also has a diversity of members, each with important gifts that are different and essential. Paul uses an analogy of a human body for the church. We are all children of God, and no one member is more important than the other. Just like the foot cannot say to the hand, "You don't belong," so one member of the church cannot say to the other, "We don't need you." And even more so, the weaker members are indispensable and should be treated with more respect. Those who have less honor need to be honored more. This order is arranged by God to reduce quarreling and dissension, and so that members have the same care for one another. So through this analogy of the human body being just like the congregation, we need to honor the weakest members. And who are the weakest members, you may ask? Are they the shut-ins, the irregular members? Maybe this month they are those choosing not to be vaccinated and feeling shunned. Who needs more respect? Precisely these weaker members. While the strongest members, like board of directors, pastors, committee chairs, well, they need to acknowledge that the last will be first and the first will be last. There cannot be favoritism, but there needs to be care and respect and honor for all. Especially in these tough times of the Omicron wave, we suffer together, so we must also honor each other together. If one part suffers, the whole suffers too. We are in this together, in good times and bad, for better or for worse. We all need each other because all our individual gifts have merit. That's why this image of the human body is so helpful for our church. For example, if a body doesn't have any skin, then it will get countless infections and will soon die. Skin is important for a body. If a body doesn't have a circulatory system with blood, arteries, veins, then there's no way to get the blood and the nutrients to the cells, and so the body will die. The body needs bones, too, else it's just a pile of flesh on the floor with no structure. A body needs muscles, otherwise it can't move. So also a community of faith needs boundaries, a skin, to protect from infections. A church needs lifeblood to bring energy to its members. A church needs bones, structure and bylaws and order. And a worshiping community needs manpower and muscle to get tasks done. You know, the body of Christ is not just a nice ideal. It actually is an essential component of the full functioning of that body, Paul is saying. Every member is important. Every gift is valuable. In society, think about what elevates someone to a high priority status. Do they wear an expensive suit or drive a luxury car? Do they have the gift of the gab, or are they a member of a privileged gender, race, or ethnicity? In the church, in the body of Christ, however, all those distinctions are washed away in the waters of baptism. All the baptized share an equality symbolized by the white gown that many baptized infants wear. It doesn't matter how much you give, how often you come, who your grandparents are. In the gift of baptism, all are valued members of the body of Christ. All members are equal and necessary for the body to flourish. Everyone is encouraged to attend worship as they can, to participate in the life of the congregation as they can, to contribute according to their ability. When we think about the gathering of the believers as a body, we hear Paul's insistence that radical individualism is something that does not build up the body. Radical individualism preaches that one member doesn't need the others, that one's own needs and desires trump those of others. But the body of Christ, just like a human body, is an example of interconnected interdependence. We're all interwoven together, and our individual actions have repercussions on those of others. For Paul, our personal freedoms are less important than the good of the whole. The decisions of the group must be for the good of the whole, taking priority over individual rights and preferences. This debate, of course, feeds into the argument over individual rights versus group benefits, which has dominated discourse in our society since the beginning of the pandemic. It started in 2020 with people wanting the individual choice to wear masks or not to wear them. That was the rallying cry in that year, and of course, that's continued. Does my individual right not to wear a mask infringe upon the greater good of society? As science has demonstrated that masks reduce both droplet emission and aerosol transmission. Our politicians and leaders gradually figured out that the greater good of society was served by having masks obligatory. And so here at St. Matthew's, we have a mandatory mask policy, but still have an optional mask-free area, which has some people relieved and other people concerned. And then we get into the hairy debate starting late last year about proof of vaccination and consequences for those who choose not to be vaccinated, which now has even erupted here at St. Matthew's, a little later than other parts of society and other churches, but nonetheless, it is now here as well. Paul would ask, well, what is the greater good? Who are the lesser members, the most vulnerable members that need to be considered and decisions made to protect them? Some would say the immunocompromised. Others would say the unvaccinated. And of course, the weak and elderly, those over 80, are regularly mentioned. While there are those who would say the merits of vaccines are debatable, the majority consensus of science is that vaccines work as they were designed to. So when it comes to vaccine mandates, one could argue with Paul's reasoning that the good of the community is more important than the rights of the individual. Or in other words, that the rights of the individual are secondary to the good of the community. Individual rights are still important, but not quite as much. Now, of course, this is a controversial topic and rife for much heated debate. Even as we saw a few weeks ago in dissension amongst families over the holidays as folks were disinvited from gatherings and people just didn't see eye to eye and shots across the bow and pot shots were taken over these shots. The approved vaccines are scientifically proven to save lives and reduce risk of severe illness. And some might say we are being unwelcoming and exclusionary in mandating vaccine passports in church. And in a way, they are right. A vaccine passport system where some cannot or will not produce proof excludes those people from worship. And that is something to be lamented. Anytime someone is excluded from a community, whether it is because of gender, sexual orientation, race, socioeconomic conditions, and yes, even vaccination status. And yet, every group needs certain group norms and boundaries, otherwise it ceases to be a group. A circle without a defining circumference or line all the way around is not a circle, it is a nothing. A square without four equal lines at right angles is not a square, and so on. Likewise, every group has a right to define safety of its members for the greater good of its members and has a right to exclude. For example, there may be an individual right to carry a weapon into the sanctuary, but if it threatens the safety of the members, then the police can be called to intervene. If someone harasses or screams or shouts during a service, they will be told that such actions are unwelcome and be asked to leave. So though God is perfect and God welcomes all, human institutions are imperfect, just as humans are, and they need to sometimes institute norms of behavior to protect the safety of its body, of its members as a totality, or at least to reduce the safety risk. And so it is with proof of vaccination, in my opinion as well, although you can be free to disagree. What can we learn from this debate? I think we need to have a stance of compassionate curiosity, although some of the arguments of anti-vaxxers baffle me. I think many of the traits of the anti-vax movement are commendable, such as the necessity of skepticism, not believing everything you read, to use your own judgment, not always to believe everything your leadership says. It's good to question how one does proper research, and where you get your information is as important as what that information is. I think we do need to be wary of attempts at social control, but most of the conspiracy theories go too far for me and don't appear to be grounded in any reality that I am aware of. The lack of trust in government and science is troubling on many fronts and is something from a larger perspective that needs to be addressed in our society and education systems in particular. The demonizations on both sides are problematic, and scapegoating and shaming people is not going to make friends and will alienate even further the most hardcore. But what is society and what is leadership to do? As we've seen our governments, especially provincial ones, agonize at every successive press conference over the past 2 years. We must realize that we all are suffering. Trying to make sense of this new landscape that we've been thrust into without our permission for the past 22 months. We're all victims of the echo chambers of social media and its self-fulfilling algorithms that keep us hooked. If one part suffers, then the whole suffers too. And so the vaccinated must suffer along with the unvaccinated. There should be no gloating. We are excluding some for the greater good and safety, and this is something to do with heavy hearts and regret. But I think it was the right move. Also to be in solidarity with our sister churches in the area who have done the same. And we hope that this time of separation, which has, of course, since the beginning been a time of separation from our most vulnerable and ill members as well, at this time will be as brief as possible, although the community scars will take a while longer to heal. We need each other's gifts. As church, as society, we're all in this together. We're all interconnected regionally as well as globally. This virus has shown us in unceasing ways. All members are needed. All gifts are important. Whether they are gifts listed by Paul of apostles, prophets, teachers, those with deeds of power, gifts of healing, forms of assistance, all different kinds of tongues, or the more approachable gifts we see in St. Matthew's members like property management, bookkeeping, painting, financial oversight, and worship leadership. And then there are the gifts that will become more apparent in 2022 with Una Church and Legacy of Christ Church coming on board with us in the building and their gifts of enthusiasm, evangelism, and praise bands, to name a few. You are the body of Christ, with varied gifts united by Christ, the Lord of all. I do have some homework for you this week. I'd like you to take some time in prayer and ponder and pray about the following. Where in your life are you asserting your individual freedom and rights where they are in conflict with the greater good? Where can you reduce what you feel you need to make space for the betterment of the whole? Thank you for taking that to God in prayer this week. I will too. Our hymn of the day is hymn 576, We All Are One in Mission.
The Spirit of the Lord is poured out upon us in abundance, so we are bold to pray for the church, the world, and all that God has made. You reveal yourself to us in the reading of Scripture. Fulfill your word through the faithful witness of your church. Send us out to bring your liberating good news to all people. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
All creation proclaims your handiwork. Teach us to love the intricate and beautiful bodies that you have created. Bless tiny insects, enormous whales, and every creature in between. Sustain species at risk of extinction. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
You desire that there be no dissension among us. Where we are divided in our society, nation, or world, come quickly to reunite us into one body, ease conflict, dispel violence, and bring an end to war. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Anoint with your spirit all who seek your favor. Grant provision and justice for people living in poverty, people living with disability, those living with pain, and those living under oppression. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the most vulnerable in our society, Today, we remember especially migrant workers who are especially at risk of COVID-19 with little medical benefits and employment security. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
God of community relationships, we pray for our neighbors around this church, for the residents of the 64 Benton Street condominiums, 81 Church Street, Wellington Place, and the 43 Benton Mackenzie King Manor Apartments, just across the street. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
In thanksgiving, we lift before you the saints for whom the promise of salvation has now been fulfilled. Tend to those who mourn. Bring us together in your everlasting glory. God of grace,
hear our prayer. Since we have such great hope in your promises, O God, we lift these and all of our prayers to you in confidence and faith. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, sovereign of the universe. You offer us new beginnings and guide us on our journey. Lead us to your table, nourish us with this heavenly food, and prepare us to carry your love to a hungry world. In the name of Christ, our light. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering therefore his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Grant
You are the body of Christ, part of the assembly of God. At God's table, there is a place for you and enough for all. At this point in the service, I invite you to take the bread you have set aside for communion. The body of Christ given for you. Now you may eat the bread. I invite you now to take the cup you have set aside for communion. The blood of Christ shed for you. Now you may drink the cup. Our communion hymn is hymn 308, verses 1 to 2. O morning star, how fair and bright. Announcements for our life together. There will be a town hall and special congregational meeting on Sunday, February 13th at 11 a.m. via Zoom. This will be in 3 weeks. This important meeting, there will be an update on the property sale, as well as on the work of United Property Resource Corporation, who is exploring options for an adjacent residential development, including a mix of market rent and below market rent affordable housing units. Representatives of UPRC will be in attendance to answer questions. Furthermore, a special congregational meeting will be called for the purpose of discussing and voting on the proposed motion that the charter for the lower level renovation, as presented by the Property Redevelopment and Sustainability Task Force, be approved. The project charter outlines rationale, general scope of work, risks, budget, and timelines for a 2022 renovation project for the lower level of the sanctuary with a project budget of $1 million. This would represent the most exciting and biggest capital project undertaken by St. Matthew's in 70 years. More information on this charter will be available next week. Hopefully, all members will be able to attend as they are able to vote on this momentous first step in our property redevelopment. So, a very important meeting on Sunday, February 13th at 11 via Zoom. More information on pre-registering and voting will be available next week via the weekly newsletter and also in the pickup bin on Friday, 10 to 4. Some of you might be wondering when we'll be reopening for worship. We'll be using the same guideposts as last summer, namely indoor gathering size of 25 people. This would indicate a reopening for February 27th, but this will be confirmed mid-February. Now, Pastor's family health status update. Many thanks to those who were concerned and have inquired. We're all healthy. The kids got their second dose on Tuesday, and Carrie and I got boosted on Monday. Pastor Carrie and I will be taking a long weekend off until Wednesday. In case of pastoral emergency during this time, please contact Pastor Philip Matai. His number is on our voicemail. And now God's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. Amen. Our sending hymn is hymn 627, O Day Full of Grace.
Christ, into a weary world, share the good news.
Thanks be to God.